afternoon. Welcome to the Henry Rain Show here on WWPR 1490 AM. Heard every Saturday, 12:05 p.m. to 1:30 p.m. And some big announcements coming up we'll get to in just a moment. But it's your weekly roundup of Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, blockchain news, and more. And what happened this week? Well, Bitcoin and many altcoins are trending higher on positive news for financial institutions and acceptance by such institutions. Morgan Stanley, Citigroup, Merrill Lynch are making moves to join Goldman Sachs as the big financial institutions and offering a Bitcoin trading option for their clients. And regulated stablecoins enter the U.S. market. Well, what are those? Well, we'll tell you about that later. But will the speed of adoption of digital assets be increased by that? And what does it mean for Tether? Plus, blockchain CPA Cara Haas breaks down cryptocurrency exchanges and IPOs and much, much more as she joins us this week. And we want to remind you that there are lots of ways you can participate in the show. Contrary to the opener, the new phone number here is 941-745-1490, 941-745-1490. Hear anything you want to comment on, feel free to do that. We have a full agenda of things to talk about. And reminding you about the meetups, because they've been on hiatus for the length of the summer, and they're coming back all wrapped up into one on September 22nd, and that's next Saturday at 2:30 p.m. at Connect Bradenton. This is going to be a combined meetup of the Bradenton. It takes me a while just to think of three at the same time, but I'm going to do it and get them all out here at once. The Bradenton, well, I've only lived here 60 years, and I still have a little trouble speaking about Bradenton Bitcoin Cryptocurrency Meetup, the Bradenton Blockchain Business and Development Meetup, and then maybe surprisingly the Sarasota Bitcoin Meetup. We'll be meeting in Bradenton September 22nd, next Saturday, 2:30 p.m. at Connect Bradenton, and we'll have big announcements there, and we'll tell you about those in just a moment, but waiting so patiently, I can't let this go on any longer. Of course, it's the financial one, the blockchain CPA, the star of podcasts, blogs, and more, Cara Haas. Hi, Cara.
Hi, Henry. Great to be here.
Yes, it's great to have you here because it's sort of feast or famine sometimes here in the studio, and we're feasting on less is more. Because Cara is here, but Andy is visiting his new grandson up in Gainesville. Augie is getting the northern states and southern parts of Canada and the Great Lakes all aligned and organized. Sabine, I don't know where she has been, but I'm sure she's doing something very important.
I think so, and it's definitely crypto-related, I believe. She's been attending some interesting talks, it looks like, based on her Twitter feed and getting some good information.
Well, probably the best thing to do is go to SabinePriestley.com and find out everything that's up to date with Sabine. And Leonard is doing all his Byte Federal stuff, along with Lee, who I think just lives in a bunker now in Englewood. And who else? Colleen's out there. Alex is out there. But we're here. And next weekend is going to be big, not just because we're having the meetups, but I've kept this under wraps. I don't think I've even told Cara yet about the FBBA.
No, those are a new acronym for me.
They don't like, yeah, I'll tell you what FBBA means in just a moment, but evidently they don't like my idea for the motto. We're FBBA. We're FIBA. Trust us. Or trust FIBA. I don't know. They just sort of shook their heads at me when I said that.
I can see how that could work.
FBBA is the Florida Blockchain Business Association, of which I am lucky and honored to be one of the founding members. It wasn't my idea, so, it's not quite the honor when you say, hey, can I be part of it? One time I said, yeah, you might be able to do something for us. That didn't sound quite right.
No, you're a founding member, correct?
Yeah.
You're a founding member. Whether it was your idea or not, you're a founding member.
Yeah, well, it's better that way. I mean,
and it's all news to me. I mean, I definitely was excluded from this.
How can
I become included? Tell me more.
Well, let me tell you about the inexpensive membership. In fact, I think you might be a business platinum member with all the benefits that incurs. Actually, this is going to make you feel much worse now. Maybe I just shouldn't even talk about it, but I've got to
tell you that even though I'm on the Goldbug and Augie Mike today, my eyesight apparently is not what it used to be because I can't even read this screen. So,
all right. Well, let me review who some of the other founding members. All members and participants are created equal, but some are more equal than others. And the most equal of them all would be our executive director, who you will recognize by name as Samuel Arms.
Samuel. I can say his name without even making the, well, it did spike. The sound did spike even.
Not noticeably, really.
I
won't even have to edit that.
Excellent. Oh, fantastic.
Maybe Sabine will show up next week because Samuel will be coming in to studio next Saturday to talk not only about the Florida Blockchain Business Association, but he will then go to the meetups where we will be making him available to anybody that shows up to find out how they can participate in the Florida Blockchain Business Association, how they can find out what the plans are for the organization. And also, Andy, a.k.a. Goldbug1, will be there because we're going to cover all the bases. So we have Samuel there for the Bradenton Blockchain Business Development. We have Andy there to help people catch up on the trends in cryptocurrency and more because he's co-founder of SeeingCryptos.com, although that is a separate from the Florida Blockchain Business Association thing. So we're getting both aspects. And then for the Sarasota Bitcoin group, well, just come on.
Vice Federal.
Just head north.
Leonard.
No.
Are you coming up?
Well, let me.
Okay.
You're just jumping all
mercy.
Ahead. We have so much.
See what happens when I can't see.
I've been sitting on this for like a month and a half, and I haven't been able to announce it. So now it's all going to come pouring out. But if the Sarasota people will come up to Bradenton next Saturday, we can get that organized because we do have a location we can use down there, Selby Library, or we could do something else. So anybody that wants to restart, relaunch, enhance the Sarasota Bitcoin meetup, we're ready to do that too. In fact, part of what it's not the primary goal, but part of what Florida Blockchain Business Association is doing is going to try and link the meetups around the state have a bigger network of people that are involved in advocating such. So let me tell you who else is involved with the Florida Blockchain Business Association, FBBA, unofficially here only FIBA.
I'm going to stick with the FBBA.
Okay. All right. So we have Crypto IQ, which means Charlie Schrem.
Excellent.
And his associate there, Ron, will be more the face of it at FBBA.
Fantastic.
We have Leonard, representing Byte Federal, will be there.
Wonderful.
We have Greg Karsh. This isn't at the meetup. These are the members I'm now talking about. We have Greg Karsh, the blockchain attorney.
Absolutely.
Who is partners with Sasha Hodder, who was on last week's show, who you appeared on her podcast this week.
Yes, Thursday.
Yes, and so you had this meeting of great minds and that also happened to be female minds, Sasha's Hodocast, and you can find that through Cara's Facebook page. You can find it through Sasha Hodder on SoundCloud, or you could go to the Henry Rain Show Facebook page, where it was reshared this morning, so it's easy to find. Anyway, so Greg Karsh representing that. Let's see, I got 1, 2, 3. Speaking of some are more equal than others, Rosa Shores
Fantastic.
And Blackface is a founding member of this. And then we have Paul Tarantino, who is bringing 20 years of wealth management experience into it. So let me make sure, because there's seven people. There's myself, Greg, Rosa, Paul, Leonard, Charlie, and did I forget somebody? Uh-oh.
Uh-oh is right.
Yeah.
I believe that's everybody that... Oh, Andy, right?
No.
Hey, so Andy and I are on the same. Is this news to Andy too?
All platinum prospects. Samuel, now I'm really gonna have to on break. I'll have to do an inventory because I don't think I've forgotten anybody. Anyway, a lot of people that names familiar from this show that you'll be. And so the function is to make the Sunshine State the leading destination for innovation, not just in the United States, but the globe, and the universe, for that matter. The Florida Blockchain Business Association was created to bring together regulators, representatives, industry leaders to create an environment which benefits all Floridians by allowing businesses to thrive and educating our elected representatives on issues. Samuel already has... outreach to representative house in the House of Florida State House and the Florida Senate, who are interested in working with them and us, or whatever we want to call it. And also, block spaces, this is separate but important. Of course, they're working with Jeff Finnick, the owner of the Lightning, to be part of the innovation hub there in Tampa. So they're raising their profile. I think they're going to be doing a lot of education programs around the state and more.
And they've really started to add to their education offerings up there at Blockspaces. Every time I've been up there, there's a new one. Peter Temko actually has some great introductory courses that he was starting this week, I think yesterday.
And he is, of course, the CPA that does the crypto
CPA
tax.
CPA that does crypto tax and keeps me out of tax. I don't even need to pay attention because I know I have Peter Temko.
By the way, this morning I was Googling IRS extension date. I couldn't remember. September 15th?
September 15th for corps. And so it's Monday. Well, and your blockchain CPA in the house here still has a couple to sign.
Oh.
Yes. Yeah. Not prepared by me, but...
I saw individual October 15th, and I was like, shoot, I got another
29
days.
Oh, yeah, you got plenty of time yet. Exactly.
Okay. What else going on? Oh, before we get into the news, the HODLcast.
Yes.
Sasha Hodler. Or at Sasha Hodler on Twitter.
Yes. Sasha Hodler on Twitter. And Twitter still is my go-to. I feel horrible, but it really is my go-to. So if anybody updates their website more than they do Twitter, I tend to be behind their developments. But, yes, Sasha Hodler on Twitter.
So how did it go?
Well, I am so grateful. I am so grateful that she let me go on and on and on. I never looked at the time. See, apparently I need to have a big wall clock like we have here at the Henry Rain Show.
It was almost an hour and a half when I looked at the
mercy.
Video.
We should have never even gotten into any other subject.
Most of her other ones are about 25 to 30 minutes.
No, maybe 45, right?
Sure.
Oh, my gosh.
Sure.
You're making me feel worse.
I think
making me feel worse.
The one.
I don't even think. I don't even think you can hear Sasha's voice on it.
Let me do this right now, live on the air. We'll go to SashaHodler.com. And that's SashaHodler.com because it's important. If you don't get there through the Facebook page or Kara's page, let's see. She's got her videos here. Andy spent a lot of time on the photo albums last week.
Yes, he did.
And so it's loading here. It's not SashaHodler.com's fault that the page loads. It's something.
It's our internet here.
Yeah, there you go.
And you're using Google Chrome and not Brave. It would be so much faster if we downloaded Brave.
Wow.
I'm just getting you to this point of humiliation for me.
So, no, there's a lot of variations here.
So I forgot that.
There's one that's
the big four was not my intended audience for this podcast. And so I spent a great deal of time talking about accounting and reporting.
This is one. Let's see here. This, I don't know what this one is. It's about halfway down. And we'll see how many minutes this one is. And where? 6, 8.
Like 12 minutes?
Yes. But she was outside. It was probably noisy. And I'm sure that's why she had to cut it short. Where's the one with the Tour de Crypto? Well, let's look at this.
I feel like that one was about 40 minutes. I watched that one.
So as
Henry's looking for that, I'm going to pump the Tour de Crypto, which biking from New York to Huntington Beach, California, I believe, across America to raise awareness for crypto and crypto funds for Hawk, which is a shelter to help, I believe, those who...
You really don't want to know how long these are.
Oh, my goodness. I can just see your face is all, and I'm just thinking, my word.
Someone closed the window. Sorry.
Yes. Crypto.
I didn't mean to
interrupt
you.
I'll go back to the Tour de Crypto, but in the 80s, there was a Saturday Night Live skit, I think, with Eddie Murphy, with the Wrap It Up box. And I really needed somebody. Whenever it's just me and the host, so we need to get that, and it needs to be mobile if I'm going to start doing other podcasts. Wrap it up. So back to the Tour de Crypto.
On radio, we just go.
Exactly.
Or the offstage floor director will do that. That's okay. We don't.
But I had no
control.
Block Spaces had such a beautiful sound room, and Sasha has all this impressive lighting and equipment.
It to go on so long because it was the equipment, and you just want to keep going. If you looked at the background, you know, she was outside in Tampa in different places, poolside. The last one, what she did right before yours on, I think on the YouTube channel, was poolside. So when are we going to get the poolside Kara and Sasha show?
Well, that was my training for, I really only need to speak for about 10 or 15 minutes.
Well, either way, if you guys do the poolside show, I think you better bring some sunscreen, just in case you go on a little bit.
As long as it's not about the Bitmain IPO. Apparently, it was my first opportunity ever to talk about straight up just accounting and the lack of guidance that we have as accountants and auditors in the field. And she knew how excited I was about it and gave me the floor. So
I could tell she was excited that you were excited. And I could tell you were excited.
I definitely was.
You guys were laughing a lot.
And it doesn't stop now either. Well, if somebody can actually appreciate, like, an accounting joke, that's golden to me. I wanted so many of my colleagues to learn crypto just so that
they
could get the
jokes.
Exactly. Uh-huh. And in the crypto world, I'm still working on getting people to understand.
How were her attorney jokes?
They're solid. Oh, she's got a strong background, too. Some of her... Stand-up? Henry always works to lighten the accounting mood, right? It's so boring.
No,
but
I was just thinking all about me, but that's okay.
But some of her experience, her father was also a stockbroker and also did some underwriting, and...
Which you can find out more if you go back and listen to the podcast on your choice of podcast platform.
Right.
Yeah, go ahead.
So, on your choice. But, going back to the Tour de Crypto, it is pretty exciting because they are riding across America. They are raising funds. It provides a lot of...
Wait a minute. Now, we had a stream
when
of consciousness
going. When it's just me? When it's just me?
Something about
can't...
the father and underwriting and being a stockbroker... And then when we got back to Tour de Crypto, just because of my momentary attempt to show the podcast platform.
I really didn't think that through. That I didn't have any hidden agenda there.
The factoid out there.
Well, I really wanted to make sure.
Like a little box on USA Today that you just say and then go move on.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Let's move on ourselves.
I tell you, I've got news for you.
News for Cari, they have open mic at McCurdy's Comedy Club in Sarasota. You could do accounting humor there, and I hone your craft.
Oh, my goodness. No, this is more than enough practice right here where you have to actually interject comedy into my dryness. And apparently coming up now, too. I think I want to do an open letter to all institutions, financial institutions, that they're not allowed to have activity in the weeks that Goldbug is going to be absent.
Well, we'll wait on that. For in the meantime, U.S. banking giant Morgan Stanley is planning to offer clients Bitcoin trade swaps. Anonymous sources told Bloomberg Thursday, September 13th. That was this week, of course. And citing people, quote, familiar with the matter. The publication revealed the U.S. multinational will follow in the footsteps of fellow Wall Street players in pursuing Bitcoin exposure options. According to the sources, Morgan Stanley will deal in contracts to give investors synthetic exposure to the performance of Bitcoin. So exactly, let's ask Jamie Dimon what synthetic exposure to the performance of Bitcoin is.
But this is the last time I'm ever going to answer a question about Bitcoin, because I really don't care.
I guess he's not going to cooperate with us. Anyway, investors will be able to go long or short using the so-called price return swaps. And this is getting probably way inside baseball financial institutions. News marks the latest commitment to Bitcoin interest from a Wall Street giant, Goldman Sachs, last week refuting claims that it had dropped plans for a Bitcoin trading desk. Morgan Stanley spokesman declined to comment to Bloomberg about the plans.
But this is the last time I'm ever going to answer a question about Bitcoin, because I really don't care.
There you go. Well, Morgan Stanley wasn't alone. Citigroup has reportedly developed a new way for institutional investors to gain exposure to Bitcoin without owning any. It's amazing how many of these institutions are coming up with a way to trade Bitcoin without owning any.
Without owning any.
Because,
trade air.
Yes. Well, I'm sure Andy would elucidate on all that for us. But, of course, again, citing the ever-familiar, quote, people familiar with the bank's plans, the publication reveals the U.S. giant. By the way, Business Insider is the one that said Goldman Sachs really wasn't going to do the cryptocurrency trading desk, that the COO had to come out and say that was fake news, Goldman Sachs COO. Anyway, but you can trust them on this story. People familiar with the bank's plans, the publication reveals the U.S. giant is aiming, you know, if something's only a website, is it really a publication?
That's
I would call it
question.
An outlet.
A news outlet.
Yeah.
Or I guess that's using,
I mean,
that's giving credit to the word news. I think just an outlet.
Yes. pondering the big questions here on the Henry Rain Show. Anyway, the U.S. giant is aiming to leverage a version. Now, remember we had what do we call this thing up here? I've already forgotten what they're calling.
Some kind of swap,
price
swap.
The price return swap. You know, I have a friend that shops at Bell's all the time, and she is the master of the Bell's game. She knows all the discounts, all the saleses and things. Yeah, the Bell's bucks. And she'll be buying and then return swapping just like Bitcoin and coming out ahead. So it's probably a lot like that. You get these coupons from Morgan Stanley for Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm.
And on certain days, if you're a senior citizen, you get a bigger discount. And then so you buy it with your discount and you return swap it for more money, even if the price has gone down, and you make your profit on Bitcoin. I'm pretty sure that's the way it's going to work.
That's interesting. And they don't really act, like my understanding of a swap is one is tied to a fixed amount, and like in the case of like an interest rate swap, one is a fixed rate and one is a variable rate. Like one party is trading based on a fixed rate and the opposing party is trading on a variable. I don't know if that would be...
Would a credit default swap be?
A credit default swap, wouldn't that have collateralized... Or that you're just betting that somebody's going to default on it?
I was trying to pull that out of you, and you furnished it to me.
There we go.
Credit default swaps, because we are 10 years from the financial crisis
now. Yes,
we
are.
And if you were privy to the crypto chat group on WhatsApp for this show, you would see some heated discussion about this over the last week.
Oh, I missed it myself, and I...
Did you look at last night's discussion? I bowed out, man.
Last night's discussion was not about credit default swaps.
No.
Right?
It got intense there, and I was just like, I'm going to watch the baseball game.
I would rather talk about it all.
Oh, we won't go into that.
It's an interesting way to get me interested. It's an interesting way to get me interested in swaps. So let's talk about credit.
Default swaps.
Default
that
swaps.
That kind of swapping.
For sure.
So, anyway... In the context of the great financial crisis of recent memory, the credit default swaps were supposedly insurance that you would buy. So say you held bonds or mortgages, there was risk involved, and you wanted to insure against this. Well, prior to the creativeness of the period right before the crisis, people would have gotten... like mortgage insurance or something like that. Well, the funny thing about insurance, when you sell insurance, you have to meet regulatory standards. But if you create a new entity, like a credit default swap, that hasn't been regulated yet, you can go out and sell it on the basis of your good name, like Lehman Brothers or AIG or whomever, the Bank of Henry Raines could sell you credit default swaps for your multi-billion dollars of mortgages that you hold under the Carajas Financial Institution.
Mm-hmm.
And I would sell, though, you credit default swaps to, quote, not quote, insure against default. And because of my good name, you know, I would back that up. Well, the fact was there wasn't enough to back up the depth of the defaults on the credit default swaps, so then you just get left with a lot of people holding the bag.
And good names.
Right.
Bag of good names.
Yeah, like AIG and Lehman.
Yes. Yes.
All right, so...
So
that
we're not exactly sure what their intention is for how they're going to structure this, but we know there's nothing underlying
that. I am sure about... is what my friend does at Bell's Department Stores. But I don't know what Morgan Stanley. But the Citigroup one, this one I think I can understand.
All right, let's go for it.
I know you will understand this because you operate at a much higher accounting level than I do. People familiar with the bank's plans, the publication reveals, U.S. Giant is aiming to leverage a version of traditional finance tool, American Depository Receipt, for Bitcoin, creating digital asset receipts. We've heard about that before. The foreign stock is held by a bank. This is what an ADR is. Then issues the depository receipt. In this case, the cryptocurrency is held by a custodian, and the deposit asset receipt is issued by Citigroup. So, in other words, there might be, like, one stock that I follow is ASML, which is in the Netherlands. It's a semiconductor they make the equipment for fabricating semiconductors. So they're based in the Netherlands. So what you might buy on the U.S. stock exchange is a share of what is being held in a foreign bank somewhere.
Okay.
So there is stock over in the foreign bank, but that's because it's European stock. It doesn't get traded on the New York Stock Exchange. Instead, they create an ADR, an American Depository Receipt, that represents the share of the bank outside the share of the stock outside the U.S. I'm sure everybody followed that.
It was clear. It definitely, I think it was. So I think you're doing good.
Okay. Well, that's all the
validation I need. I'm the only opinion that matters right here.
Yeah.
You made it.
Validation. Anyway, it explains referencing anonymous sources. So, again, you can take this to the bank with your deposit.
I love these anonymous sources.
Yeah.
That's all we're about these days.
digital asset receipt, take it to the bank, and ask for the anonymous source. All right. So anyway, this, though, would actually represent somebody has to hold Bitcoin somewhere.
And be willing to offer it up as collateral.
And so you, it's like a one-to-one ratio. It's there, and you own a share, and because Citibank has such a good name, you trust them. They've looked into all this for you. Well, that's not very the true believers of Bitcoin, the original gangsters of Bitcoin, to use the term loosely, like what's his name, Andreas Antonopoulos,
mm-hmm.
doesn't like this. He doesn't like ETFs. They want the old not your they call it not your keys, not your Bitcoin vehicles.
Correct.
Which. You know, but other people are like, this makes it so much easier. It's like the first time you see the Coinbase screen. Yeah, it's 5% more, but it's so much easier. And it's 5% when I saw it, too, but it's easy. All right. So we have Morgan Stanley. We have Citibank. And now we have Bank of America Merrill Lynch.
The Don't Forget About Us product.
Joining the party.
Yes.
They... I love this is BitcoinExchangeGuide.com, a great publication.
Definitely good humor. I like it. I mean, at least they're witty in the writing.
Yeah, the crypto gold rush is officially here, according to them. For Wall Street's biggest financial institutions, they talk that Merrill Lynch is developing the product to go along with Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley. Now, the fine publication and writers at BitcoinExchangeGuide.com know this because they got the information from the ICO Journal. Which, you know, you can't walk through Central Park without seeing somebody thumb the pages of their iPad on the ICO Journal. Anyway, they were the first to report the news. They say, yes, Bank of America and Merrill Lynch is set to produce a Bitcoin product that will be tradable for clients and based on the futures markets in aggregate. As Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley rush into the market, Bank of America seems to be having a, quote, don't forget about us moment and following the same roadmap.
Oh, so that was the ICO Journal with that brilliant writing.
Yes.
Oh,
I found that quite... BitcoinExchangeGuide.com quoting the ICO Journal.
All right.
Strategically not linking to ICO Journal so that you could read it firsthand.
And all anonymous sources at the beginning anyway. Underneath.
You know, we need to start making up our own fake news around here. We could probably get a lot more downloads. Anyway, by the way, Kara is going to be launching a Bitcoin ETF.
Oh, my goodness.
Any day now. And we'll stay tuned. We'll give you details later. They're creating the Bitcoin derivative connected to a non-deliverable forward. So we have...
Because the price return swap is not good enough, we now need
a
non-deliverable...
The digital asset receipt is too good for Merrill Lynch.
Exactly.
So we need...
Still something that doesn't actually represent ownership in anything because it's non-deliverable forward.
Yeah.
So just good names. Now, underneath this...
In the early days of Marvel Comics, this is like way back in the 1960s when they had letter pages and things like that. People would write, and you write a good letter, they would say, we're giving you a no prize. And I think somebody else...
No prize?
Yes. You get a no prize, and it's on its way to you.
Oh, my gosh, I can't wait to read about this.
That sounds like a non-deliverable for it. It is on its way to you... forwarding its way to you, and it's not going to be delivered.
I love it.
Yeah. So that's an NDF.
Okay. And I'm fairly certain it was created by somebody with the no prize in mind.
And I love the precision in the language of the paraphrasing by BitcoinExchangeGuide.com of the ICO Journal, and where they write, NDFs are an outright forward or futures contract where counterparties settle the difference between the contracted NDF price or rate and the prevailing spot price or rate on an agreed notional amount.
So just to break some of that down, I mean, that definitely is borrowing.
Well, I think I probably should re-say it before you...
Maybe two more times.
I'll re-say it after you explain it the first time. But this time I'll just, because you tell people, and then you tell them what you told them, and then you, no.
Then
you tell them what you're going to tell them, you tell them, and then you tell them what you told them. That's the rule of talk radio. Okay. NDFs are non-deliverable forwards that are either an outright forward or futures contract where counterparties settle the difference between the contracted, I could say NDF, but I'm going to say non-deliverable forward because people don't remember acronyms, price or rate, and the prevailing spot price or rate of an agreed notional amount. NDFs, the non-deliverable forwards, are used in various markets, including Forex markets and commodities. So really, if Andy was here, he would know all about this.
He definitely would.
So what does that mean?
So to me, they are definitely deliberately borrowing language from the other products, because the notional amount, that concept, comes from swaps. And in particular, when they are, if you and I are going to trade a swap over a $10,000 mortgage or a $10,000 loan, and you're going to trade on, say, 5%, and I'm going to trade on the LIBOR rate. So yours
is... Are you just going to throw another acronym in there for everybody?
Oh, shoot, I'm sorry. So what would be the U.S. equivalent? Just our interest rate, the Fed rate, the Fed funds rate?
I had a shiny object distract me. We have input from the crypto chat group, and Leonard wants to know when he can sign up for Kara's Bitcoin ETF.
Oh, mercy, come on.
And
we need to bring
right
our
with him.
We need to bring the disclaimer back.
Okay.
We need to bring you need to do your own research. Nothing we say should be
okay.
taken seriously.
We should move on, but we're not going to. let's break this down a little bit more. We've got a CPA. We've had an attorney last week. We have all. Why not? Let's break down the English language here. So we have the first part. We're going to diagram this sentence for you at home. NDFs are an outright forward or futures contract where counterparties settle the difference. We're not going to go to the rest of the sentence. So counterparties, that's easy. That's just two
you
different
and me,
parties.
Henry and Kara.
Okay.
Or let's make it Andy and Leonard.
Either way.
Why not? They're not
parties.
Exactly. They're not here.
Okay. So an outright forward or futures contract. So that would be there's a Bitcoin futures contract.
Yes.
Okay. And we got two counterparties. We got Andy and Leonard.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to settle the difference between the contracted NDF, the non-deliverable forward price, or rate, but because it's a future, we'll call it a price.
A price.
And the prevailing spot price or rate, which is just the price that you can get for it right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Andy, because he's the one that's always working the angle, he's got a future contract, and he wants to make some money off Leonard.
Yes.
And so he offers to... Or Leonard would offer to pay the difference between what Andy's future contract is and what the current price of Bitcoin is. So Andy still has the contract, and Leonard pays him for the difference.
Mm-hmm.
And now it settles. So how did Leonard get his money? Does Andy owe him the difference? Either way?
If it's opposite the contract, if there's an additional difference, right, between that and the
so
spot.
So if it's $6,500 for the futures contract, and Leonard is offering to pay the difference between what it settles for, and it settles for $6,600, then Leonard would give him $100. And then, but Andy still has the contract.
But aren't we missing the part of the time on the futures contract? So the NDR is, or NDF, now I see why we don't do acronyms. The non-deliverable futures contract, you still have to pick a date in the future that both Andy and Leonard are agreeing upon for that contract.
I think Andy's getting over on Leonard.
I'm gonna find a way to protect Leonard.
Okay.
It may not be within the confines of the show, but
why don't you sell Leonard a price return swap for that he can insure
based on your
non-deliverable forward?
And it'll be held. The actual collateral for this is held at the Bank of London.
At the Henry Depository Receipt Bank
in Puerto Rico. With Tether.
Last you saw it. All right. We've had enough diagramming the English language. And see, that's why Sabine should have been here. She's our English language
specialist. She is. We're missing the Sabine piece.
All right.
Everybody needs to come back. Have we not proven that already?
All right. We're going to reach out to CNBC's on Friday. I think it was Friday. It was earlier this week. And we're going to hear what they had to say about all these swaps and forwards. This is like that Slinger commercial, you know? Have you seen those? No, you don't watch regular TV.
You're right. I don't watch TV. But
Sling TV would be good for you because you could get to all those shows.
Oh, they almost hooked me during the Olympics, and I didn't bite.
See, the commercial is about Sling TV. And in one of them, like the lady at the grocery store meets her neighbor, says, come on, we're having a Slingers party. And the miscommunication is the whole hook of the commercial.
To
keep you amused. Well, you didn't have to say that. People know.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But
now
everybody knows where your brain is at. Okay, let's just play this from CNBC.
Bitcoin rallying today, and the word on the street is that rumors of Bitcoin's demise could be greatly exaggerated. Bob Bisani is at the NYSE to break down what could drive a big Bitcoin comeback. Hey, Bob.
What, me exaggerate? Forget about it. Rumors that Wall Street still wants to offer crypto services just won't go away. Bloomberg is reporting that Morgan Stanley is planning to offer complex derivatives tied to Bitcoin. Now, these derivatives will give investors synthetic exposure to the performance of Bitcoin futures contracts. Investors will be able to go long or short these contracts. Bloomberg said the bank is set to launch once there is proven institutional client demand and after an internal approval process has been done. We reached out to Morgan Stanley, by the way, and they declined to comment on this story, so no confirmation here. Goldman Sachs is also exploring derivatives on Bitcoin called non-deliverable forwards. Now, you'll recall that Business Insider initially reported that Goldman was backing off on its Bitcoin trading operations, but the Goldman CFO refuted that at a recent TechCrunch conference.
I think one of the wonderful things about being at Goldman Sachs is we do get written about a lot, and I never thought I'd hear myself actually use this term, but I'd really have to describe that as fake news.
Okay, so why are these firms exploring derivative products instead of just trading Bitcoin? It's regulatory issues. It's a big problem. Custody is the big problem. The SEC has made it clear they are not going to approve Bitcoin ETFs until the issue of custody is resolved. But how can firms safely...
Just for foreshadowing here, right after this, a few more seconds of this clip, Cara and I will explain custody just as equally as well as we explain the non-deliverable forwards and return swaps. So stay tuned.
Store cryptos and, most importantly, the private keys. Self-storing is not going to work. The SEC requires private funds with significant assets to use a third party. So crypto company BitGo is among the companies that are looking to fill that gap. Today, they received a charter from the South Dakota Division of Banking. They'll have to file financial audits, adhere to Know Your Customer and anti-money laundering rules, and file monthly disclosures. But if they can crack this custody thing, this will be a big leap for Bitcoin. Melissa, back to you.
All right. Thank you very much, Bob Bisani. For more on this, we brought in our very own Bitcoin baller, Brian Kelly, because we had to get his take on this.
Yeah, he's the perma bull for Bitcoin on CNBC. But sometimes I think it's really like an inside joke with them, because they'll say, were you selling today? And
really?
Yes. And sometimes he's like, yeah, I was selling a little bit. And back when Bitcoin was up at the like 2 months ago, around 8,500, they said, "Are you selling today?" He goes, "Well, I'm selling a little bit."
I guess they all do that, right? Like Jim Cramer, he's a considered like a market maker, right?
He's considered, in my world, an entertainer.
Anybody on CNBC for the most part, right? I mean, it is entertainment.
Let me give you the hierarchy here. There's journalists. There's hosts. And then what I used to aspire to, now I just aspire to get through the hour and a half. But back when I was doing Morning Drive, one of my guests said, "Well, you're a journalist." I said, "No way am I a journalist. On a good day, I'm an infotainer." So what you're talking about, some of them are infotainers. When Cramer comes on, he is an entertainer. His show. Maybe not in the morning when he has to talk with the other infotainers.
I didn't know he was on more than once.
Well,
so I shouldn't even opine.
Why don't you get Google TV? I
don't have enough time to read what I want to read right now. I don't have time for TV.
Since you don't have time enough to read, you can put this little screen where people think you're looking at a GPS on your car, and you've got all those trips over to the
I have
coast.
Audio, the books and information that can come to me in audio for that. But here, going back to that, we were talking about Brian Kelly, right?
I believe.
Did I get his name right?
Yeah.
See, progress.
BK,
I learned a lot
permeable,
from you.
Permeable. Boy.
So did he sell a little on this day that he was chatting about this?
No, this was on Friday. I don't think they asked him. Maybe it was Thursday, but either way, I don't think he said.
Okay, how important are these two developments, the Morgan Stanley and Bitcoin?
He sells at the peaks right before the suckers buy in. Sorry, didn't mean to say that like that. Poor people like me buy in.
So I think Morgan Stanley is important for sentiment because you saw what happened with Goldman Sachs. People have been waiting for the herd, the institutional herd to come. And so the fact that Morgan Stanley and Citibank, that helps sentiment. The custody is actually probably a bigger deal because that's been the real roadblock. If you have more than $150 million under management and you're a private fund, you can't custody your own assets. So you can only get so big in this particular space. With custody, institutional quality custody, regular...
I need to make a liner of that audio. You can't custody your own assets. That could come in handy sometime.
Yes.
I'll forget after I leave.
All right. For more on this latest development from BitGo.
All right. So we'll hear from the BitGo CEO in a little bit. So now that we've clearly explained all the defaults, the return swaps, and the non-deliverable forwards, let's go to commercial break. Kara has a lot of stuff that she's prepared that we got to get to, but we'll wrap this up a little bit. You're listening to Henry Raines Show. Trying to get into Bitcoin but don't know where to start? Byte Federal ATMs make it easy. Safe, secure, and reliable, a Byte Federal ATM introduces you to cryptocurrency investing with a method you're familiar with at a real physical location. If you've ever used a bank ATM, then you're ready to step up to a Byte Federal ATM and start building your digital assets. Located throughout Florida and Georgia, there's a Byte Federal ATM near you. Go to ByteFederal.com to find a location for you. That's ByteFederal.com, and you'll find a real phone number, a real email, and real people you've heard live on The Henry Raines Show.
There's a new way to experience wellness. Hi, I'm Laura Alcover, owner and operator of Alcover Massage. We're the first business in Bradenton's Village of the Arts to accept cryptocurrency. Whether you use Bitcoin, Bitcoin Cash, Ethereum, or Litecoin, you can now pay for quality massage therapy using cryptocurrency at Alcover Massage. So if you seek medical massage or a relaxing session with light pressure, your session will be conducted by a talented therapist. You'll be glad you booked with us. Check out and like our Facebook page where you can book online in seconds. And remember to tell your friends. Give us a call, 941-592-3187. That's 941-592-3187. Alcover Massage, quality massage therapy in your neighborhood. MA number 50525, MM number 34081.
Henry Raines here on the Henry Raines Show at WWPR, 1490 AM, heard every Saturday, 12.05 PM to 1.30 PM. In the studio with Kara Haas, Blockchain CPA. Everybody else is AWOL or doing something more important. And we will have Kara back next week. Andy will be back. Well, Augie is gone for 2 weeks. He'll be back on the 29th. But in the studio next week will be Samuel Arms, who you might remember as a past guest, but he will now be returning as the executive director of the Florida Blockchain Business Association, a newly formed group, many of the names you'd be familiar with if you listen to the show regularly. And there he is going to be here talking all about the goals and process and what Florida Blockchain Business Association is working on. Then he will be at the meetup immediately following the radio show, at least after drive time, from 2.30 p.m. at Connect Bradenton, downtown Bradenton, right there at 12th Street West and State Road 64 East. So that's right there, Kenny Corner to the old courthouse. Anyway, Samuel will be there, and he will be talking about the Florida Blockchain Business Association. Andy, a.k.a. Goldbug1, Seeking Crypto's co-founder, will be back in the studio next week, too, and then he'll be coming over to the meetup, and he'll be helping everybody get back up to speed on their trading and chart reading for Bitcoin and probably stocks and everything else that SeekingCryptos.com does. It's more than cryptos. And here in the studio, Carr and I had just finished giving a textbook explanation of the different derivatives that the major financial institutions are planning on for Bitcoin and how they will offer them to their clients. We've talked briefly, at least, about CNBCs and what the custody, because all the things we talked about before that, the Citigroup deposit asset receipt, the return swap, or was it price return swap?
Price return swap.
From Morgan Stanley, the non-deliverable forward from Merrill Lynch, all those things, none of them actually caused any Bitcoin to move. So the two things that happened this week, Coinbase and BitGo will continue to facilitate growing demand for Bitcoin from institutional investors. Now, it's not news that Coinbase has a custody solution for institutional investors, but BitGo has become approved by South Dakota regulators, and you know how South Dakota goes, the financial world follows. And South Dakota has approved them as a custody and will operate their crypto custody solution there. So let's hear from their CEO, Mike Belshi, about what they have planned for that. This, again, also courtesy of CNBC.
Can help Bitcoin make a comeback, we are bringing in Mike Belshi, the CEO of BitGo. Mike, great to have you with us.
Thank you very much.
What sort of interest have you gotten so far?
Well, it's been ongoing for the last couple of years now. As traditional finance has started to get engaged with cryptocurrency, as the market has grown and shown that it's got real promise for the future, the interest has just continued to grow. So it's everywhere.
What's your guess as to who your first customers will be? What sorts of clients?
Right. So, I mean, in the spectrum of folks that need custody, there's more aggressive and there's less aggressive. There's a number of hedge funds, family offices, wealth management. They're all looking for solutions. Frankly, if we had solutions, you know, 2 years ago, the entire market would be much farther along than it is today.
Hey, Mike, so one of the issues with custody in the past in Bitcoin has been it's very slow to get out of cold storage. Some places will take 2 or 3 days to get the assets. And so for a trader like me, that doesn't work. Your new offering, what's the time frame on that? Do you have different tiers for traders versus longer-term investors?
Okay. Now, that was representative of something we were talking before about Brian Kelly and whether how he positions himself on this show on CNBC. So right then he was asking, well, do you have these kind of solutions? Do you have something that would work for me?
Right.
listen carefully as this goes on. This is not a particularly long clip. We're about into it for about a minute and a half here. But poor old Brian Kelly, what do you have for me? What would work for me? Okay, let's see.
Absolutely. So BitGo has been servicing wallets, hundreds of exchanges globally for the last 5 years, one of the oldest players in the space. So we can.
So old Mike Belshi from BitGo is here. He's still playing the, objectively, we have these things. You know, and then we have this, and we have this. I'm not making it personal with you, Brian.
Combinations of hot storage and cold storage. Cold storage is key to be slow, actually. You do not want to move $1 billion overnight. So if anybody's telling you that you can move that very quickly, you know, you got to kind of wonder, what are they doing behind the scenes to keep that safe?
Are you only dealing with Bitcoin, or are you dealing across the spectrum of crypto?
No, we're excited about actually all the digital assets and cryptocurrencies. So we support about 10 different blockchains today, about 75 different coins and tokens overall, and seeing growth across all of them.
Custody seems like a really important aspect of this, but when you hear about Goldman Sachs possibly, I don't know how you want to phrase it, not being as optimistic about rolling out a trading desk as maybe previously thought, Morgan Stanley's move, does Bitcoin really need Wall Street, these institutional players, or is it just the custody that has been the biggest barrier for Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies to grow significantly?
Well, custody's certainly been a barrier for institutions to get in. As Brian mentioned, they're required from a regulatory perspective to have a regulated, qualified custodian, and that's a particular entry point which you can't go without. They are fiduciaries to their clients, and so they're required to make sure that they have the highest security, the highest regulatory compliance, AML, money laundering controls possible. So that has.
So it's almost over here, and I just before it comes up on the audio, if I were lowly infotainer here, and I had a guest on who I was using their product, is it better to disclose that at the beginning of the interview or the end of the interview? Just think of that question as you listen.
Who exists. And without the infrastructure having been in place for the last couple of years, it's definitely slowed us down.
I'm going to ask you this question, BK.
Let's do it.
Does Bitcoin need Wall Street more than Wall Street needs Bitcoin?
What Bitcoin needs is fresh capital coming in. So we haven't seen a lot of new buyers coming in. So to the extent that Wall Street represents that, yes, Bitcoin needs that. I can tell you just anecdotally.
No, also, think of that. If this expert is telling you Bitcoin needs new capital and he owns it, isn't it in his interest to tell you to buy it and put your new capital into it?
Yes.
Let's just see what he has to say.
Totally. The institutional herd is starting to move their feet a little bit. They've taken a lot longer than I expected. I'm a little blue in the face from holding my breath until they get here, but it's starting to happen.
And this makes you how much more optimistic?
Much more optimistic. This is a solution. I mean, I actually have been a customer of BitGo for a long time now, and this product and having it regulated by state banking authority changes the game for me.
How does it change the game for him? How does it change the game for him if he's already been a customer?
Just enhances the. And my question now is, so BitGo
takes the cattle prod to the herd.
And I don't know if our listeners remember what BitGo didn't start out as a custody solution. They started out in this space as a security solution for some of the exchanges, right? I think I have it here. In 2013, it was launched as a blockchain security system, providing multi-signature security services to protect large-scale exchanges like Kraken, Corbit, and Upbit, one of the biggest exchanges, of course, in South Korea. So they didn't get into the custody. I mean, they obviously saw an opportunity and custody being an issue, and they acquired Kingdom Trust, which was a custodian.
Huh.
So I don't know if BK was a customer of BitGo Security or Kingdom Trust, or how long has this been happening that he's been a long-time customer?
Fortunately, we weren't on the panel.
Right.
All right, I have one more story here, and then I want to get into all the stuff that Kara has prepared. And this, while you're waiting for the Kara Bitcoin ETF, there is.
Do not get blue in the face.
Yeah, don't turn into Brian Kelly getting blue in the face holding your breath. take a deep breath and move to Canada, because Canada's first and only regulated Bitcoin fund, First Block Capital, has obtained mutual fund trust status, allowing investors to put their fund units in self-directed registered accounts. First Block Capital announced the investors in its flagship product, FBC Bitcoin Trust, available for accredited investors only, so don't move unless you can meet that standard, can now put their holdings in such account as registered retirement savings plans and tax-free savings accounts, which I assume are like our Roth IRAs and regular IRAs. Anyway, this has been on the come for a while, and Mark Vandercheese, the co-founder of First Block, says our goal is to make investments in blah blah blah. Anyway, you got a legitimate way to put Bitcoin, and this evidently is they actually have custody somewhere of Bitcoin, I think is what this says, probably because their assets under management has dropped from $40 million to $20 million in the past year.
A little bit easier to solve that custody problem.
Yeah. Anyway, so here we have Canada First mutual fund allowed to be used in an investment account, perhaps not too far away in the United States of America. We're going to go to one more break here, and when we come back, we're going to see what Cara has put together for us this week. And actually, I'll find out probably as fast as you all will. If you're a business owner, you need to start listening right now to find out how a few feet of empty floor space can turn into a steady stream of both money and new faces into your business. Hosting a Bitfederal Bitcoin ATM gives you a leg up on your competition by giving your location a destination-oriented visitor that will come back time and time again. Frequent Bitcoin ATM customers become frequent shoppers in your storefront. To find out more, just call 877-855-BYTE, B-Y-T-E, or 877-855-2983, and you'll be talking to the same local business experts you've heard on the Henry Raines Show. Or just go to bitefederal.com and fill out the simple form to begin hosting a Bitcoin ATM in your business. Don't wait. Start earning new revenue and seeing new customers right away. Call 877-855-BYTE, B-Y-T-E. That's 877-855-2983, or go to bitefederal.com.
There's a new way to experience wellness. Hi, I'm Laura Alcover, owner and operator of Alcover Massage. We're the first business in Bradenton's Village of the Arts to accept cryptocurrency. Whether you use Bitcoin, Bitcoin Cash, Ethereum, or Litecoin, you can now pay for quality massage therapy using cryptocurrency at Alcover Massage. So if you seek medical massage or a relaxing session with light pressure, your session will be conducted by a talented therapist. You'll be glad you booked with us. Check out and like our Facebook page where you can book online in seconds. And remember to tell your friends. Give us a call, 941-592-3187. That's 941-592-3187. Alcover Massage, quality massage therapy in your neighborhood. MA number 50525, MM number 34081.
Hey, this is Brian. I listen to her every week. I really like it. Me and my wife, we just stop our cars every Saturday at 12 o'clock, make sure we listen to the show. It's great. I'm learning a lot about these cryptocurrencies. Keep on listening.
Talking Trouble.
There's a trouble.
Show with Cara Haas standing by right here. Cara, the old liner music with the Token Trouble.
I love it. I'm going to find a way to make the liner music work going forward.
You'll still be Trouble, but you're so much more than Tokens now.
Oh, there. I like it. I definitely like it, but there definitely is trouble. Yeah, it's more than tokens. But I love the song, so it's gonna be hard to part with that. I think
well,
we need to.
Well, the song doesn't say anything about tokens. Just the early the voice, token trouble.
So now we'll just make it be.
I can just cut
trouble
off.
Just trouble. I'm
trouble.
Just trouble. Just trouble. It's trouble in exchanges and mining. Well, tokens too, but the real trouble is everybody needs money.
Well, now last week you were telling us about what the Bitmain IPO.
The Bitmain IPO.
Which has to do with mining.
Which is definitely cryptocurrency mining.
Okay. So where does that take us to this week?
So it leads into still both miners and exchanges racing to raise more cash and get access to more capital. And the best way to do that is try to get access to regulated markets through an initial public offering. Of course, the ICOs are unregulated, the initial coin offerings that we're currently familiar with in the space. So an IPO would actually give the initial public offering. The main difference with that is it represents ownership in a company.
Through a share of
stock or equity. So a lot of the exchanges and mining, the miners are starting to talk about it. I mean, some of them have been following suit. Well, with Bitmain, with the miners, their competition, Canon Creative and then eBang, have both said that they were going to do an IPO with targeting probably $1 billion, which is kind of small potatoes compared to Bitmain's attempt to target like $18 billion. But then one of the directors of Bitmain left back in 2016, I believe, and started a competitor, which is ByteWe, which I think we had.
ByteWe?
Am I mispronouncing it?
No, I don't know.
You can help me, because you put it in the show notes. So
yeah.
I was hoping you did that to back me up on pronunciation.
I agree with you. You got to be careful you don't turn the W to an M.
Right?
ByteWe, which actually really is just as bad. ByteWe.
But apparently their underlying innovation.
They all say to Andy when everybody gets mad at him at the same time. ByteWe.
So it's,
as opposed to when Augie is mad at him. What Augie says to him. Well, inside joke. Yeah.
Oh, I love it. I love it. So it does seem to be kind of a bit of a race on Twitter. Shows the inexperience of the leadership in the space, that everybody's kind of racing to the capital markets and getting there either through Twitter or China's WeChat. Leaking different information or posing tweets. But
by getting there, you mean positioning themselves.
Yes.
They're not actually getting money from Twitter and WeChat.
Correct. No, just how they're presenting what they intend to do. Everybody seems to want to get on the IPO bandwagon, particularly in mining and exchanges. And the exchanges seem to be a little bit more advanced and a little bit more calculated in their approach is what I'm noticing compared to the cryptocurrency miners. And what I mean by that is that you have Robinhood making deliberate acquisitions.
Okay. That's the stock trading and crypto trading application that's on your phone that has no fees for trading.
No fees for trading. However, you currently still cannot acquire assets on their platform and transfer them out. So you cannot transfer them to a third-party wallet. So once you acquire assets or trade on their app...
For crypto, you could move the stocks, can't you?
Maybe for the stocks. So, yeah. And they were a stock. They were an established stock trading platform.
Stock broking company.
Yes. And I'm not familiar with their product in that space, but in terms of cryptocurrency,
you should stop at their office in Orlando when you're on your way over to the East Coast.
Because I have so much time, I'd have to pause my TV.
Yeah, that's what that little button's for.
But
or just do like everybody else. Just come switch over to your phone and log on in, talk to people while you're watching TV.
Yes. Do a little interview.
That's the way they do it at 7-Eleven when they're ringing you up.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So they are attempting to position themselves to compete with Coinbase, being a U.S.-based cryptocurrency exchange. Coinbase has, of course, talked about an IPO, I think, since December of last year. I mean, they've definitely not denied that they're attempting to make acquisitions of registered, regulated, licensed.
So we have Bitmain, the mining company, that would probably be an IPO that would be offered somewhere in Asia, like Hong Kong or something like that.
So that's what recent talk has been. But when I went back to some of, particularly the CEO's interview with Bloomberg, they were talking of an overseas IPO, which would tell me that they weren't downplaying the thought of attempting to do a different IPO. But that's the crypto.
We have that for Bitmain, and then when we come to Coinbase, but that would be a U.S. IPO.
Coinbase?
Yes.
Yes. And let's be clear.
And Robinhood would be.
And Robinhood. I think, so in order to do a traditional initial public offering in the United States of America, first of all, you need to have 2 years of audited financial statements by an independent audit firm. So by, like, PricewaterhouseCoopers or Deloitte, KPMG, Ernst & Young.
So if I wanted to have a Henry Rain Show IPO, I'd have to go home tonight and create 2 years of audited.
You would have to have.
Financial statements.
You would. No. Let me rephrase it. That would be how some other people have done it, and I'll go into how. How they do that.
To be audited in real time.
Not exactly. What you need to be running the show for 2 years, have 2 years worth of business.
Done.
And those financials need to be audited. So you already have your books and records for 2 years of successfully operating the Henry Rain Show. And then you need to hire me.
Yes.
To audit those.
Oh, you don't want to put your name on this.
To make sure that they are not misleading investors. So my job, and that's coming in one of my future blog posts that I keep promising, is the difference of the types of audits and the type of assurance. But that's what you need for a legitimate traditional IPO in the United States of America. You need to have 2 years worth of audited financial statements. So I believe the exchanges like Coinbase and Robinhood are working toward that. They're definitely making acquisitions. They're merging. They're making hires.
So is that shown on the prospectus for the IPO, those 2 years?
It should be. It should be in the prospectus.
It
should be filed alongside with it, the actual property.
Is that as rigorous as, like, when a company comes out with their quarterly statements? Would it be, does what they do and the statements that they have prior to the IPO, although they have to be accurate and audited, are they as detailed and rigorous or more or less so than what we get from publicly traded companies after they're on the stock exchanges?
So there is a bit of a grandfathering in clause on some of it, and this definitely gets into the weeds, but that they are allowed to have time to get their internal controls over financial reporting and their systems in place.
But like I'm covered.
I think that the Henry Rain Show would be able to put together some decent financial statements.
I don't think you want to. I can make these statements, but you don't want to make these statements.
But exactly. Let me disclose. I have not looked at any of the Henry Rain Show, and I'm not independent. I'm not independent, so I definitely can't audit your books because if you benefit, I benefit. So.
I'd be surprised if she had looked at any of my books.
So going back. That's what I see Coinbase and Robinhood and some of the exchanges starting to do. there are alternative ways to go public in the United States, and one in particular is a reverse merger or reverse takeover.
So we're going to get to that. So we talked about Bitmain, which is a Hong Kong-based company, or China-based company. Hong Kong, isn't it?
Hong Kong.
Eventually.
That's where they're actually talking. The Hong Kong exchange is where the current talk is.
So then we move to Coinbase and Robinhood, which are U.S. companies.
Correct.
We didn't talk about Binance yet, which may have an IPO that's been talked about, which we've talked about on previous shows. We just put them for a side. So now, but any of those would be a more or less traditional IPO, especially the American companies.
Especially the American, but I would lump Binance in there as well, because we might as well bring Binance into the picture. So more, we only have time to cover the exchanges today, I think, but for the most part. But Binance has hired for their CFO, I believe, somebody who has extensive experience in the capital markets and public offerings, and they have come out and said that this does not indicate, you know, we're just having them in case. The knowledge is valuable. But people can surmise anything they want on these things, but I think the exchanges are definitely more deliberate and more calculated in their approach to the capital markets than what I've seen these mining companies be.
Mm-hmm.
So
now we go to reverse, now
we go to reverse mergers. Reverse IPOs. What a reverse merger. Well, they're...
So traditional IPOs, once you get through all the other stuff we talked about, you say, this is the price, and it goes through, like, usually
underwriter,
a Merrill Lynch or somebody like that.
Who
will distribute it, sell it to the people. And then after the initial people that buy those shares in the IPO, then they after the IPO is dispersed, it then trades on a stock market.
Correct.
And a lot of times it's very hard for any average investor to be one of those initial IPO buyers.
Yes, it typically is very hard, and it's also very costly on the company to go through the underwriting process. You've got a ton of legal costs involved, a lot of regulation. You're doing initial filings with the SEC, so you need to put forth all those documents, get all the filings in place. So what a reverse IPO is it avoids, it skirts, it shortcuts the regulation up front. What a reverse merger is somebody, and we'll use an overseas example right now, but you can certainly do a domestic one.
Okay.
And have it be a takeover, but an overseas one, and Chinese reverse mergers are a good example because there were quite a few from 2006 to 2011 where a company in China would find a shell company already listed and approved in the U.S., regulated by the SEC, that essentially has no revenue. They haven't made it.
How did they get listed?
At one point, they went through the process to get listed. So very common that it was coal mining companies, energy companies, paper, pharmaceuticals, Mike.
So at one time, those companies had a real business.
They had a business, but they couldn't make it go.
Okay, so now they're not operating, but they're
But they're not delisted. They're still listed. So they're not operating. So now you do have, from a business standpoint, a worthless company.
So the exchanges don't have a way of house cleaning those companies out?
The reverse merger tends to do that, apparently, because this still happens. This still definitely happens. So... And you think about it, you went through all the pain and trouble to get listed. You're going to still do everything you can to stay listed. Right. So what...
So I just need to find one of these companies rather than go through that whole auditing stuff.
That's exactly what people think. So what they do... Now, you still have to go through the auditing stuff after. But what they'll do
well,
is... is because you already went through. Now you're a public company, and everybody's gonna invest in you now. So what they now do is they buy this shell and file with the 8K to the security
form
to the SEC saying this is, and they usually change their name then.
Mm-hmm.
And put on their board of directors, and what happens is that they merge the private company shares with the newly.
So we have Carajás LTD that's been on the exchanges, but back from, say, when you were doing tax services, but you don't do it anymore,
mm-hmm.
and you've been inactive, but you have all these shares. Say a million shares on XYZ exchange,
mm-hmm.
and then the Henry Rain Show has a million shares of that's just sitting in the Henry Rain Show treasury.
Yes, because you'd be and you're looking to deploy that and become public.
I acquire you.
My shares.
Okay.
And then we merge them together, and now you are changing my name to the Henry Rains Crypto or Henry Rains Blockchain LTD. And now you're a publicly traded company in the United States. So
are there 2 million shares now? If I had a million and you have a million?
It depends on the structure that you want to do. I mean, whatever our operating agreement would be. Exactly. Right.
Okay.
We don't need to spell out the terms. Henry or Leonard and Andy are figuring that part out.
Okay.
So no matter how many shares are there, I mean, the shares are merged. No matter what, the bottom line is Henry Rains needs to make sure he has majority control of whatever this shell company is.
Right. LTD.
You don't care about me. Carajás doesn't get
some.
But not in this for these purposes. You want to make money, you want to get rich. You don't care about me. You shouldn't. If that's your goal.
This is getting very confusing.
It's not intended to be. We're supposed to be using ourselves as examples to make it easy to follow. So what happens after that, then, you are subject to, you fall under, your company here is under the SEC regulation. So now you are subject to audit and you are subject to all the things. But if you keep the Henry Rain Show alive overseas and you keep some of your stock separate over there, you can keep your company private. And particularly, this was the issue with China doing this, is China's books don't, anything you do in Henry Rain's China does not fall under SEC regulation. So now you got a U.S. based company that you can just do whatever you want to have done here publicly, raise your money and be audited. But then Henry Rains China, even if you have Deloitte China audit you, that information doesn't leave China.
It stays in, what goes in China stays in China.
What goes on in China stays in China, unless somebody decides that they just want to share some of that information on one of the social media channels.
Or I have a disgruntled reverse merger partner who didn't think I treated her well enough and then spills it all out there.
I think I would die. I think someone would kill me if that were the case.
You travel in a strange crowd.
Reality? Yeah, no. I mean, that.
You did your reverse merger with me.
Well, that is true, but
I'm concerned about you. I want you to prosper too.
No, that's not how it happened. It should not happen that way. That's good, but then you don't need a reverse merger if you want to make sure that I prosper.
I want to prosper together.
It's
right.
Good, but there are all alternative vehicles for that. But that's what I see.
So
just
how does
to wrap
this
that
work
up
with what we talked about last week, the High Times IPO and reverse merger?
So High Times is actually a slightly different alternative to going public, but it is considered a shortcut. That's Regulation A plus, which I know we're going to run out of time trying to explain that. But
I can do it quickly. So right now, High Times is, because of the hype about cannabis stocks, they're trading like the new Bitcoin or whatever. And they want to, they've been trying for about 2 years now to have this IPO, which allows unaccredited investors to buy in. You got a credit card, you got $500 limit on it, you can buy some shares of the High Times IPO. They're going to have, I think, about trying to raise maybe $40 million or something like that at $11 a share. You can do the math on that. So, but they also have an agreement with a Cayman Islands shell company that after they close the IPO, they're merging. So that way, because when you buy through the Regulation A+, they're telling you, we don't know if we can get listed on an exchange with these shares, but we will try. But if we can't, we are also merging with this Cayman Island company that is already on the exchange.
Their Plan B.
Well, so it's Plan A plus B.
Plan A plus. Yeah, Regulation A plus B. Definitely we do want to make sure that we say that we are not recommending participation.
No.
Right. Okay. I just want to make sure that we got that disclaimer in there. But they
are not even recommending the magazine.
Right.
Or buying tickets to the Cannabis Cup. By the way, though, if you are interested in this, you should look at the revenue on this, because not that much, even though they have a well-known brand for merchandising, et cetera, 70% of their revenue comes from the Cannabis Cup events. So, which, like, they hold them usually annually in Amsterdam and other places where they can hold a. In other words, it's a place where everybody comes to compare, and it's like a cannabis convention.
Oh my gosh, I am so naive.
And you can use, and they have a the Cannabis Cup is for the best
cannabis.
There may be
product.
More than one division, I don't know, but they award the Cannabis Cup. In fact, one of the premiums for, like, if you pay $10,000, you get your own like miniature Cannabis Cup replica. For your $10,000. Yeah, I digress. But anyway, I think they hold seven of these a year in various locations. But the idea is that as cannabis becomes legal for recreational use around the world, they will expand the number of cannabis cups and therefore expand the revenue base. On the other hand, you can argue that how special is a cannabis cup when it's legal everywhere?
Multiple different arguments as well for that degree. And there are alternative stocks in the same sector that perhaps have a little bit different
business model.
Business model and management, money management.
Right.
But one thing to be really be cautious of when you're looking at alternative IPO structures and considering investing in them is you need to question why are they going for it so fast. They're skirting regulation. Obviously, institutional investors did not really want to do this.
And the benefit of a disclaimer, we have to play this.
Log of the Starship Enterprise, stardate 5943.7.
Captain Kirk, this is Lieutenant Uhura. Mr. Spock is ready to patch in. Go ahead, Mr. Spock.
I'm on the surface of the destroyed barbarian planet now, Captain.
Destroyed? What do you see, Mr. Spock?
The surviving inhabitants are in a dreadful condition. It seems they can't control their limbs, and their minds are dull and useless. Fascinating. They seem to be in a state identical to that curious 20th century Earth disease called hard drug abuse. I suspect it has destroyed all meaningful life on this wretched planet.
A tragic find, Mr. Spock.
As a Vulcan, I find the need for hard drugs to be totally illogical.
But as a half-human Spock, surely you can appreciate the suffering that hard drug abuse causes. We can only hope that other civilizations will not make the same mistake.
Maybe they just landed at the Cannabis Cup.
There you go. Beware.
All right, so we did not get to your overview of all the exchanges, which... We're only on page 27 of the 38-page
exactly.
Rundown.
Well, and I had some peace offering news on Medici and
Overstock.
Overstock. I mean, they actually did put their money, but he put his money into an investment that he said he would for a wallet.
Except for the other responsibilities that he needed the money for. Anyway.
We missed a lot. Well, a lot happens every week.
Yes.
To be continued.
Yes. Next week, hopefully, Andy back in the studio, Carl will be here, and Samuel Arms. And the meetups resume next Saturday at Connect Bradenton at 2:30. You've been listening to The Henry Ainge Show.
You, with your masquerading, and you, always contemplating what to do. In case heaven has found you, can't you see that it's all around you? So follow me.